on the airwaves, coming at you live from the Fan Run Studios. John Reed, Charlie Collier. Just the two of us. How are you today, Charlie?
Mixed feelings.
Mixed feelings?
Yeah.
What are your feelings mixed about?
Well, my two sports teams last night did very different things.
Your two sports teams, right. Okay, so the baseball Vols 27-2 just beat the absolute hell out of Mississippi State for the second time in two straight games against those guys.
And then Miami got run off the floor by a healthy Celtics team.
And then the Miami Heat get to play a healthy team finally and get beat by 30 points.
You can't say finally, though. Embiid.
Embiid played. Had a mask on and couldn't see. Like
he played.
I mean, it's fun, but
he was
couldn't.
More healthy than Kyle Lowry, who didn't play.
Kyle Lowry kind of stinks.
We kind of need Kyle Lowry.
I don't think you do.
No one's facilitating.
That's the first loss you had without Kyle Lowry. You guys were undefeated without Kyle Lowry.
No one's facilitating. Jimmy Butler only 3 assists last night. Gabe Vincent can't do it himself. We need Kyle Lowry.
Well, we'll see if he gets out there. But the Celtics get two key pieces back, two starters back, and
so it was a night of mixed feelings for me because I was like, man, they were happening at the same time too. So it just, I'd be watching them both. I'd be like, yes, no, yes, no, like .
Well, the good news is the game that didn't really matter is the one where your team absolutely dominated. The one that didn't, you know, really have any repercussions or stakes. So if that makes you feel better,
it does. You know,
the game that mattered a lot is the one where you got your ass absolutely demolished.
It was tough. It was real, real tough. But
the Tennessee baseball team's offense seems to be back.
Just a little bit. Just averaging 22.5 runs a game the last two games.
How many we score against Belmont?
18.
Yeah. So just, you've already scored what? 45 runs in two games so far?
That's what 18 plus 27 is.
Yeah. Yeah. You've already scored 45 runs, and it is only Friday morning.
Pitching's back, too, given that you've also only given up those two runs total.
Does seem like last night was the move to get Dahlander into the number one spot. And he responds by going 6. I'm just going to call him perfect innings. The walk seemed a little fishy to me. Didn't give up any hits, though. One base runner, 6 innings. And I don't know if they were going to try to let him throw a no-hitter. I don't know if no-hitters even matter in college baseball.
They're cool. I mean, they're fun. They'll get you a Player of the Week award.
Okay. But whenever you bat in the top of the seventh for, 45 minutes, there's no point in bringing your pitcher back out in a game that's, 21-0. So I'm glad Vitello took him out.
Even if that inning would have gone like 1-2-3 and he didn't score 7 innings, I still would have taken him out.
Same.
Like 67 pitches, that's enough.
Hello, Hodden. Last day, just not even doing the thing where he tries to be quiet when he comes in. He's just going to burst in like the Kool-Aid man, but that's fine.
Oh, yeah.
Come here and get your. I'll switch over.
But, yeah, I mean, again, 67 pitches, like, that's enough for me. No-hitters are cool. Championships are cooler. I 6 innings was more than I expected in a pitch. They were just such an efficient 6 innings that, 6 innings was fine. But, like, Burns tonight, I'd like to keep him around 65 to 70 pitches in 5 or 6 innings.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully he could come out and give you obviously asking for a similar performance is asking for too much, but hopefully he can give you a good performance, get some work in, and get some confidence going into the SEC tournament. Of course, Dahlander is going to have a lot of confidence heading there after the way he pitched last night. So if you're Mississippi State, there's no shame in forfeiting. Like, your season's over. It's clear the boys just want to get into the the off season,
bro. What are those fans doing out there last night?
They're soaking in. You know what?
It was like a 15-run deficit.
Runs in baseball.
Yeah, 15-run deficit in like the fourth inning, and they're out there like still cheering.
Well,
I guess they paid a lot of money for those like club seats right behind.
They
the
paid
plate,
a lot of money, but also like the these are damn. a lot of the, These are still some of the same guys who won a national championship last year. You don't throw them away after 1 year. All these damn hypotheticals we talk about, like, people are like, yeah, you take the national championship even if it means 10 years of that type of baseball. You know, we do it with football a lot. Yeah, I would take 10 losing seasons in a row for a national championship. Well, you got to go out there and support the boys. It's less than a year removed from the national title, so you don't just all empty out the stadium on TV.
The owner of one of the biggest bars there, that's like a huge baseball supporter and pays for all the rigs and everything after the game, he tweeted, even the Yankees wouldn't have beat us 27-2. If y'all quit, let me know so I don't have to spend another $100 on groceries tomorrow. How about you quit getting, or how about you not get drunk tonight?
So well, he seems fed
mad.
Up.
So they're pretty mad.
I mean, it was, you know, it's ugly. Yeah, I think I saw that it's the worst SEC loss they've ever had.
It is.
And the most runs they've ever given up, which obviously it's hard to be worse.
Most runs they've given up since 1943.
Okay.
Worst loss they've ever had.
Okay.
It was the biggest margin of victory for an SEC game.
Ever?
Ever, I think. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's hard to be worse than 25 runs.
Yeah.
It's hard to be worse than that.
It's the largest loss by an SEC team in 25 years. So it's not the biggest.
Not ever, but 25 years.
Most runs by an SEC team in a conference game since 1998.
Feels like 98.
I kind of wanted us to break the home run record, though, honestly. When Ortega hit that in the ninth inning, I was like, that's definitely out. And they hit the top of the wall, and I was like, damn.
You mean just for our single game?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that would have been cool.
Yeah, yeah.
But
it would have been.
We tied it for the second time this year.
We did.
But if we were playing in Lindsey Nelson last night, 100% we would have had at least 13 home runs. There was like three or four that hit off the wall.
Yeah, but I'm glad we weren't playing at Lindsey Nelson when that happened because that's always the excuse. And, you know, send us to a good ballpark, a big ballpark, and we're still, you know, we're still going to go out there and smack some dingers around. I did see that Arkansas fans going through it again. They're upset again.
Did they lose last night?
I don't know if they did or not. I just know that they were. Yeah.
They beat Alabama.
Okay.
What were they mad about?
I mean, they just...
They sent our bats or something?
They were, like, trying to live vicariously through Mississippi State this weekend. They were saying they were going to beat us.
I mean, like, when you get on their, you know, 24-7 sports, hog sports, there's just always talks of Tennessee baseball. Some of the screenshots I saw, cork bats, there's no way they're hitting more homers than the mid-2000s. That's from Z. Beeler 1. The big red 95 who has a big hog mascot. It's either cheating or the most dominant regular season I've ever seen. The roaring boar says, no steroids involved here at all, ... LOL, ... With, you know, the handshake meme, the unity meme, the two muscular guys. I believe that's Sylvester Stallone and maybe Carl Weathers. Maybe not Carl Weathers, but...
What is that maybe movie maybe Bill Withers.
Bill Withers is a singer. I don't know if he was that strong. But perhaps. Frozen pig reincarnated. Says that half of those look like fly ball outs. No way those carry like that. Hog boy. B-O-I.
About last night's game, they said that?
That's what they said.
Yeah, Blake Burtz. That one really looked like a just a
fly ball. There wasn't that many of the home runs last night that like hung up in the air for that long. They were just like the
piss
first.
Missiles.
Bex, I will say that was.
Yeah,
like,
I was gonna say
that one barely got over.
When you went back to back to back, I mean, like, two of those were barely. I thought, you know, he almost got up and caught one. And
Gilbert was hit good, and Luke's got out pretty quick. But
I got out
low.
Quick, but I thought it was
Last night during the back to back to back, I missed the first one because I had turned around to wash my hands.
Mm-hmm.
So then I was trying to look up the video of the first one and missed the second one. Looking up the video of the first one, so then I was trying to look up a video of the second one and missed the third one.
Luckily. They put them all together in one video for you. Hogboy 479 says these bats are loaded. LA Hog says, I mean, can they seriously get away with using these juice bats? And then this guy, who doesn't have a cool hog name, he's really going through it. Because he says he's in the steroids camp. He says, I know it makes us look bitter. But we're watching something that's never been done at the collegiate level before, including when the college bats were super hot. They were good last year, but they weren't good enough to take a leap like this. Last year, we were one of the best college baseball teams ever assembled. I know we didn't make it to Omaha, yada, yada, yada. But what we did is really, really hard to do in tenor. I don't know why they call us tenor.
I don't know.
Any update? Do you know, Charlie, any insight on why Arkansas calls us tenor?
I don't know why.
No, I have no idea. Maybe they just don't. Tennessee's too hard to spell, and you know, Tennessee. Like, you know, just
tenor, is that it? People say Tennessee. I don't.
Maybe they do.
But what we did is really, really hard to do, and tenor is making that look like it was nothing. Either they have hot bats or there's steroids involved. I watched the first inning when they hit those three first home runs, and none of those balls off the bat looked like they should go to me, and they all did. Their home runs just looked too easy. I don't know. Maybe I'm just a bitter Hog fan. He's going through it. King Flameshot also going through it. He says that, like, if Tennessee wins the Natty, I may never recover, and you may never hear from me again. The pain will be a massive hit to me. So Arkansas fans really going through it. Their obsession with Tennessee continues.
Pretty much every time we win a game, you can count on one of them talking about how they didn't lose a series in the SEC last year. They went undefeated. And we lost to Kentucky, so it's like some sort of own to us. But okay.
Do you think that really makes them feel better?
Yeah, they're like, we're the one of the only teams to ever do it. Just talk about how much better their team was last year than ours.
Okay. Which, I mean, all of this will be settled. Like, Tennessee has the Bulls on the back. You had more people talking last night about how this is the best college baseball team ever assembled. Yep. You know, at the postgame show, you had – who's the guy that does the postgame show for the SEC Network?
Dari Noka?
No.
Tom Hart?
No, Tom Hart was on the call.
Tom Hart was doing the call. This was just more of an analyst, not the lead host.
Oh, I'm trying
the
to
lead host,
what
I think,
is.
Was was that the girl from, I think she might have been a Lady Vol, right? Don't they have a Lady Vol there working?
Andrea Carter?
Yeah, I think it was her that was actually like hosting.
She works there. I don't know if she
I think
the,
it, I'm pretty sure it was
the
her.
Postgame show?
Yeah. And then they had like an old baseball player who played in the SEC and then played in Major League Baseball. Like, I don't
Burke?
Know. No, it wasn't Burke. I
don't know. He has a weird last name.
But he was just talking again. He's like, you know, just this pitching, this batting, like all of it is just top notch. And, you know, basically it's just like, you know, they are the complete team and we're watching history was essentially the takeaway.
There's another college baseball. Like,
it was Andrea Carter, by the way.
Oh, there's a college baseball guy, that Ben Upton, who's the host, one of the best, like biggest college baseball podcasts. He even tweeted and later deleted, accusing Tennessee of using corked bats. He was like, the bats just sound different when Tennessee hits it. You know, it's just, it's a different sound. It shouldn't sound like that. So I think everyone's just a little peanut butter and jealous.
So are they acting like the bats are bad? Like, do we know they go through inspections,
yeah,
right?
They always do.
I don't know. But when you score 27 runs, it's not normal, so...
Yeah.
I understand, like, being another fan base looking at that.
Like, you're trying to rationalize.
You're trying to be like, what the hell's going on here? This team wasn't that good last year. We were pretty good, but I was looking through, like, our schedule last year to see, you know, how bad we beat Mississippi State. And, you know, we had a normal college baseball season, like a really good normal college baseball season.
Yeah, we considered it like a win to win one game against Arkansas last year.
And against Vanderbilt.
Vandy. Yeah.
And just to, like, you know, take two out of three against other SEC teams. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like we were out here sweep or bust, so...
I'm going to be mad if we don't get a sweep this weekend. It feel like it's been a while, so we haven't.
I won't be mad, but...
I mean, it feels like we should sweep this team. This team has quit, like, obviously. Like,
I think tonight we'll...
They were really just throwing the ball right at the middle there at one point.
I mean, sure, maybe they'll come out and fight and have some pride, but at this point, like...
I think they probably quit. I mean, again, yeah. They're one of their major bar owners, like, hey, guys, don't get drunk tonight.
I mean, even if you haven't quit, like, you just aren't good this year either. Like, they're
right.
Last place in the SEC, or at least, like, right there battling for last place in the SEC.
By the way, we weren't even the highest scoring game last night.
We weren't?
In Power 5.
Yeah, I saw Iowa.
Iowa beat Indiana last night 30-16.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but wasn't Indiana up 14-3 in that game? So I think they went on a 27-2 run themselves.
I didn't see it.
I think I saw that they got out to like a really big lead.
Indiana was up by 13-2.
Okay, 13-2.
Through three innings. And then Iowa scored 10 in the bottom of the fourth, which is significantly higher scoring than those two teams when they played football.
It's true.
So that was hilarious from last night to me.
Balls were flying last night. I couldn't imagine
scoring 16 runs and losing by 14.
No, that would be tough. I don't know what you do to if you're the offense. I don't know what you say to the pitchers after the game. If you're the pitchers, I don't know.
You guys suck.
Are you able to look them in the eye?
You guys are awful. We would have had a better chance if they just all put them on tees and we just played defense.
Yeah. 27-2. At any point, did you feel bad for Mississippi State?
I felt bad for them at 21-0, and then they hit the home run and bat flipped, and I didn't feel bad anymore.
They tried to steal second and then like went, was out here aggressively sliding into home plate at to make it 21-1. So like, I guess he got out. So it would have been 21-2. But
yeah,
at that point I was like, well, I understand like trying to show that you're trying to your fans and your coaches. Maybe the coaches were yelling at him in the dugout to keep fighting. I don't know. But then the bat flip and you're just like, okay, buddy. Like,
I guess we'll put five more on your head real quick.
Relax.
I didn't really feel bad, but it's such a demoralizing feeling when you're getting beat so bad, even if it's like 6 or 7 runs and you have a guy out there that's just like, you're literally putting out there to just be like, let's end this game. Like, let's just eat these innings up. And he cannot throw a strike.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh my God, bro.
There should be a run rule.
That dude was like spiking the ball halfway to the plate and just getting so frustrated. I'm like, just throw it down the middle. Like, we're going to get out ourselves at least one plate appearance here in a minute.
Maybe we got some much-needed confidence for some bats to get back on track. Maybe our pitchers needed some work out of the bullpen. We saw a couple guys we don't usually see. I don't know, but that game didn't feel like it benefited anybody after, like, the fourth inning. We should have just, like, went ahead and said, okay, game over. Let's all save some time here. Fans, you care? You want to go home or you want to pay for, like, $5 popcorn and, like, $8 sodas? You good? Can we just go home? Okay.
The amount of people there in the bottom of the ninth down 25 was kind of funny.
Yeah, credit to them for being diehards, I guess. You know, they care about their baseball. But do you not have anything else going on? Do you not have anything else you can go do?
Maybe, I don't know, maybe they were just content to continue eating their meats and
maybe
drinking their drinks.
Maybe. Let's go to break. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Foster writes in saying he believes it was Todd Walker who said that on SEC Network when I was saying the former player. He was a sharp-dressed man. I thought he looked good. Looking at pictures of him, it does seem to be that guy.
Snazzy.
I'm 90% sure that Foster is correct there. But a stud LSU player.
Yeah, I didn't watch.
It's championship or bust, though, right? I mean, it is.
By that, you mean?
I mean, the season is going to be fun to Tennessee fans, but like, maybe it's not championship or bust. Maybe it is. We're going to get slandered unless we win a championship. Like, I think that as Tennessee fans, we could probably be happy without a championship.
I mean, you came into the season projected third in the SEC East, like in your division alone. And
right.
I think people, it was let's get to a super again.
Yeah.
Or let's host a regional again.
My goal, we talked about it, my goal was to make it to super regionals. Not even host a super regional, just make it to a super regional.
My goal was to make it back to Omaha.
Okay.
I would have been disappointed with less than a super.
Okay, well,
I thought that it was a team that, like, hey, this team should get back to Omaha.
Yeah, we're saying the same thing.
So, yeah, we're basically at the same page. Like, I think my expectation was Omaha.
Okay.
My expectation is still just Omaha and don't suck in Omaha. Like, that's where I'm at. I think, yeah, if you don't win a national championship, it'll be like, man, that season was awesome and we did all these things, but that team really probably should have won a national championship. So I guess that's where you're at with championship or bust, like kind of that mentality.
Right.
Which,
like, you're going to look back. I mean, I
don't think that's a fair thing to really put on this team, given what the expectations were.
I think it's a fair thing, though, once you see how the season played out, though. Like, before the season, it wouldn't have been fair to say championship or bust. It's not really fair to say that for almost any team. Like,
I just think when you had, what did he say yesterday, like nine nationals, top eight national seeds have won national titles since 1999, where I guess that means, what, 13 non-national seeds have won also?
Like, but
the,
what,
the amount of parity that you have in college baseball and the number one overall seed only winning once since 99, I just don't think you can necessarily say championship or bust. I think final series, like championship series or bust is even like, is okay. Maybe a more fair assessment.
Yeah, sure.
But I get what you're saying. Like, what you're saying makes sense. It would feel disappointing to not win a championship with how good this team has been.
When I'm looking, like, where's our conference record? What's our current record right now? Just 40, all around
47 and
we're 47 and was it five?
Six, seven.
Okay, we're 47-7. We've lost seven games now. We've lost five in SEC. Okay.
Yeah, 47-7, 23-5 in the SEC.
23-5 in the SEC?
Yep.
Let's just say we go ahead and sweep and we're 25-5 in the SEC. Because it looks like I said, Mississippi State's dead. Compare that to last year's Arkansas team. They went 50-13 and 22-8 in conference. So I mean, like you're three games better in conference than them, and you know I don't know what the overall record would be just because we still have you know other games to play. But is that a big gap between what they did? Now, granted, like it feels like we've been beating people down more often.
Yeah, I think there is a decent gap between those teams, just because again. There's not just the record, but there's the statistical dominance.
Right. So when you're saying like the one seeds aren't, you know, don't always win it, and you know half the time they don't. Like, I think that's fair, but at the same time, I also think that this is a different level of a one seed. Yeah. Like the second team, Oregon State, or at least the second team up until 2 weeks ago, lost again yesterday. I think they got beat 4-1, maybe. And lost a series last weekend. So, like, the top-level teams that are, you know, getting set for the tournament are all coming down to earth a little bit, right? Like, Oklahoma State was right there, and they got beat 2 out of 3 by Texas Tech. So, like, you're playing your best baseball. Or maybe not your best baseball. You're playing really, really good baseball. Maybe your best ball this week, actually. The last two games might be the peak performance you could have. And the rest of the contenders aren't really doing that.
I mean, again, like you're 3-1 to win a national championship at this point. That's
seems really
pretty
low.
Crazy, and the second best odds are like 8-1.
Yeah, it is kind of crazy though.
You also have I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I was just saying you also have like some of the lowest odds I've ever seen for teams that are gonna be hosting regionals, and I think also part of that has to do with how good Tennessee is. Like Maryland, a week or two ago, they were like 35 or 45-1. And they're projected in the latest field by D1 Baseball to host a super regional, like to be the seven national seed. So, I mean, I think part of everyone else is like having longer odds than usual also is just how dominant Tennessee is.
Yeah, what I was going to say is just like impressive that it's that low of odds when you have to play so many games to get to the World Series. Like, I would understand if we were 3-1, like if we were already in Omaha, like going into Omaha.
Because last year, I think what the favorite once we got to the final eight teams and got to Omaha was like 3-1, 3.5-1.
Yeah, exactly. I think it was, I want to say it was Texas or something like that.
Yeah.
11 months ago, this comes from Saturday down south. We still have the super regionals to go before the field is set. The odds are out. So it's at least before super regionals. So maybe this is after regionals. Arkansas was +180. So, like, I mean, it's not – so maybe, like, I mean, you know, I said they weren't as dominant, but +180 when you get to the Super Regionals is pretty damn short. Yeah. Vanderbilt was +450. Texas was +500. Tennessee was 6-1. So, again, I know that we've had pretty short odds, but by the time you actually get to the Super Regionals, it's – I guess this is what it's going to be when you're the title favorite, right? Because that's what it was for Arkansas. And we agreed that Arkansas didn't have the pitching Tennessee had. And obviously didn't have the – at least I don't feel like they had the talk. about being the best team of all. You got your mic on, by the way? Make sure it's turned up. People have gotten multiple texts that nobody can hear you.
Okay, I'll turn it up.
So that it's a good way to go out, I guess, staying on brand.
What seed were we last year?
We were the 3-0 seed overall, right?
Yeah.
I thought we were 6.
No, we were the 3rd.
Okay.
But Arkansas, again, was plus 180 by the time the Super Regionals came around. So it's not that unique that Tennessee would be in the position where they're at. It seemed like it just because the next closest team, you definitely don't have like a Vanderbilt this year that's lingering around at plus 450 that has two top 10 pitchers on it like Vanderbilt had last year. I'm trying to find the updated odds. Let's see. So, yeah, Tennessee, according to our friends at FanDuel, 3-1 to win the title. The next closest is Oregon State at plus 750. Oklahoma State at plus 1,200. Arkansas at 1,500. So, like, there you have, what, four teams with 1,500 or lower, shorter, if you will. And last year, again, I know it's a little bit different when you actually get through the regionals, but you had Arkansas, Vandy, Texas, and Tennessee all at 6-1 or under. The second closest team right now is Oregon State at 750.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I was kind of saying. Like, I think that's the more impressive part is like how much better your odds are, not necessarily how good your odds are.
I'll be interested to check to see what happens like once you actually start knocking teams out, and it's not like, you know, you versus the field as much as it is you against like 16 teams remaining.
Yeah.
Not like a whole 64 team where anything can happen, and maybe you have a couple bad days and you get knocked out. Because I have a hard time thinking that anyone's going to come into Knoxville and beat Tennessee in a 3-game series.
Now, I think if you're going to lose before Omaha, like it's not going to be. I think you're more likely to lose in a regional than a super.
I think I agree with that.
Things can just get wacky.
I think I agree with that too. You just have some bad luck, and like it's not one team beating you twice. It's maybe two teams beating you once each.
Like you maybe like something weird happens, and you don't get through to the two wins in the Saturday game with the advantage. Like maybe something wacky happens, you drop a Friday game, and then all of a sudden you have to win two in a row Saturday against a team that didn't have like a depth advantage.
So when you get through Saturday and you get to actually Sunday, is it with that point, would it be just winner take all, or is it you have to beat them twice, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, so you, or my bad, I guess it doesn't start Thursday. In my head, it started Thursday. It
starts Friday.
Yeah, so it starts Friday.
And if
then you play twice Saturday. You win that,
yeah, so I'm saying like maybe
then you have to beat the other team twice
I'm
on
saying
Sunday,
like maybe
right?
You like win that Friday game.
No,
it's
on Monday.
The second game's on Monday.
Okay, yeah. Right, sorry. So you'd have to beat them Sunday, then Monday.
Yep.
Right.
So you have to go basically 4-0. If you lose the first game, you have to go 4-0.
You're more likely to just like lose to a 2 seed that has a really hot starter in game 2 on Saturday, and then have to play a second game Saturday, and then have to win Sunday.
With all the pressure in the world on you.
Yeah, and then have to play again Sunday, Monday, and win all 3 of those facing elimination. Like that's more likely to happen to me than a 16 seed or someone else from that region coming to Knoxville and taking 2 out of 3. I don't think that's possible.
I just don't think we're going to lose at home. I don't think anybody can hit enough home runs.
I don't think so either, but I'm just saying likelihood-wise, I think you're more likely to lose in a regional than you are a super, and I don't think it's that close. If Tennessee gets to a super, in my eyes, they made it to Omaha. Actually, yeah, I take that back. I don't even need to knock on wood to say that.
I'm excited to get to like postseason baseball.
I love it.
Like I don't want to say I'm at the point like where the regular season got boring or I was like wanting to run the clock out because I did enjoy every series, but now that it's here, I'm really excited for postseason baseball. It's not like the NBA, right, where you get the last couple weeks of the regular season, you're like, oh my god, just get us to the playoffs. It hasn't gotten to that level yet because last night was pretty fun. But I want to go through Hoover. It'd be nice to win the SEC championship. And then I look forward to finding out that I'm a little mad at the ticket office just to, I guess use my platform. I bought season tickets, right, to guarantee my spot at the regionals and super regionals. And then the email is like, disclaimer, these seats aren't guaranteed. I'm like, wait a second, buddy, what? That's the whole reason I bought 4 season tickets, which granted the season tickets have been nice to have anyways because, we're historically good this year.
And your seats were good, too.
And my seats were good. But then I was like, all of a sudden, like, wait, you're not guaranteed to get any tickets for the regional. And I'm like, excuse me?
That hurts.
I don't think.
I knew you said that that you wouldn't be guaranteed your like season ticket seats,
right?
But you, I figured you would get some seats no matter what.
I think I'm I'm not really worried about it, but I did notice that in the email that they threw that in there after, like, when I bought the tickets, they're like, "Oh yeah, no, you lock in your spot for the postseason." So I'm a little mad. I don't like, it's a bait and switch, and I don't want to, like, you know, start bashing anybody just yet. But that line in the email caught my eye.
Like, if we don't get our super, or if we don't get our regional tickets, then
we're definitely getting super regional tickets. I will say that I did notice that, like, on the tickets this time, like last year, I believe if you had season tickets, you got up to eight tickets. This year, I only got four. Which I have four tickets, so I don't know if they were just like, if you have two, you only get two this year, or if like the max is four. I was able to request four, so I wasn't able to get like the eight I thought I was going to be able to get.
So when do you find out about that?
I assume like whenever the tickets go on sale, they'll let me know beforehand like whether or not I have the option to buy. So I imagine like once our regional is actually set,
mm-hmm. So
like, which is weird. You'd think they'd go ahead and handle that, but I guess they have to wait to be like, well, we officially advanced to regionals. We're in the field. Like you would think they'd already have that handled.
Yeah. So next Sunday.
Yeah, I would say next Sunday, but again, you would think, hey, spoiler alert, guys, over there.
Probably like, next Monday.
You're going to host a regional.
I think what would have to do, I think, with away, like, with what teams are coming and like the tickets, I guess, maybe.
Well, I would say like the tickets for us are going to be the same. Like Tennessee's probably like going to give the same allotment no matter how far away they're from.
Yeah, but I think maybe you get tickets back.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, but again, it shouldn't really affect me, I wouldn't think.
I wouldn't think it would either, but I guess maybe that's when they wait to.
You're on alert, Danny. We've had some good times since you gave me those front row tickets to LSU, but you're on alert, buddy.
He gave you front row tickets at LSU?
You saw those seats I had. They were great.
For what
game? For bashing him.
For what game?
Oh, the LSU regional. Super regional.
Yeah, I wonder if they're going to have the whole the phone working this year for the tickets.
Oh,
what?
No. That's not going to happen.
You don't think so?
I would say that like general admission tickets don't even get like on sale. Like you might.
That's
kind
of what I'm thinking too.
You might be able to like get the standing room only stuff or somewhere, but like
yeah,
no.
I don't think there's going to be any like tickets for the public to buy.
I don't think so either.
I paid
like
so much
from the university, and I don't think there's going to be any student tickets.
You don't think there'll be any student tickets?
I don't think there were student tickets last year.
When I get to all
if
the students,
I can remember,
are gone,
I'm
right?
pretty sure the students
there were.
The student tickets last year, though, weren't they just to the deck, though?
They were first come, first serve, and it was the deck, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I'm sure I don't want to go there.
I had to pay a lot of money for LSU tickets from scalpers.
Yeah.
I should have just complained and gotten people to care like you.
Hayden, send us to break. You got anything else to say about Tennessee baseball, Charlie?
I do, actually.
About what we're talking about? Okay, we'll continue the conversation then after the break. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. All right, Charlie, what do you got? You said you had more to say. Say it.
I wanted to discuss the designated hitter spot for the postseason.
Okay.
Because right now, Jared Dickey is potentially getting back healthy. And then, you know, Blake Burke is obviously tearing the cover off the ball, averaging a home run every 6.5 at-bats, and I did the math right that time. And then you still have, obviously, Christian Moore, who has torn the cover off the ball, also has 10 home runs, is hitting over 300, has an OPS over 1,000. Where would you like to see them go with that DH spot? Because at this point, for me, I think Blake Burke has earned the right.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like that guy's smashing the ball. I mean,
but like Jared Dickey was one of your best hitters before he got hurt.
Well, if you told me that Dickey's healthy, then
because I think I think there's some thought that Dickey could be healthy for regionals.
I was told that he's out through the regionals, is what I was told.
Through the regionals?
Yeah.
Because I heard that he started to hit some, he's been hitting some lately.
Yeah, I mean
and making some strides.
Maybe, like, I mean, again, I was told this a week and a half ago, so things could always change, but I was told that, like, not to expect him back before, like, super regionals.
But even then, like, Blake Burke versus Christian Moore, like, Christian Moore is still, he's been the guy that started 26 games. You know, he has nearly double the at-bats that Burke has.
Looks terrible. He's looked terrible the last few weeks.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say, but he's
strikeout machine.
A little bit more likely to strike out. I love Blake Burke.
It'd be awesome if one of them could play the outfield, to be honest. You know what I'm saying? Just either Burke or Dickey when they come back, you know?
Well, Stevenson. Would you take Seth Stevenson out?
Yeah.
Why would you do that?
I just feel like
Blake Burke so
hitters.
Seth Stevenson's hitting .356.
Blake Burke so far
20 bases.
Blake Burke so far is 26 of 65 on the year. So I mean, the plate appearance is not, you know, not enough. The at bats not enough, but that's, he's batting 400.
Right.
So I mean, he's obviously proven that he can hit. He's obviously proven that. Now the home run pop, you know, that's something that we know he has in his limited at bats, like 65 at bats and 10 bombs, like. That seems to really matter. Like those are Barry Bonds numbers, right? Like Barry Bonds at his apex was getting one home run every six at bats. Like that's what Blake Burke has been so far. And it's not just like in bot games. Like he did it. Yeah, sure he did against A&M, Alabama A&M at the beginning of the month. But you know he hit what, two against Georgia, and then one last
same
night
game,
against and then one last night against Mississippi State. So like he's shown in your last two SEC series that he can hit SEC pitching too. And I know last night was barely SEC pitching with Mississippi State, but the Georgia game, you know, that was game two, I believe, that he had the two bombs
in. That's their best pitcher though, right?
Yeah, like that was against good arms. Like, so yep. He's hot, and I think I think he's earned a DH spot.
Yep. And like what Tony said on the broadcast last night, he would be starting anywhere else, but Luke's just played so good this year. It's like hard to sub him in for him. I think Luke's had a home run in four straight games.
Yeah.
So.
There's just so much talent on this team.
Well, yeah, like it's one of those things that like you have to deal with the pitching. And, like, what arms to throw where and, like, find innings for everybody. But you also have to find, like, at-bats for people. Which, granted, like, there are going to be some opportunities open up. You know, you're going to have some guys out of here. You know, Gilbert and Beck. Like, those guys are, you know, first-round picks.
And then Evan Russell's gone. Like, Lou Lipsy is gone.
Right, yeah.
Those four spots.
Right.
Lipscomb.
Lipscomb's gone.
So you're going to have a lot of opportunities next year. Now, you know,
Ortega too, right?
Yeah. So I mean, like, are those guys going to be like in the dugout already in the clubhouse? Your replacements? Some of them, I would think.
I mean, you're literally losing every position except for left field and shortstop.
But you got some guys on the bench that can fill in. But you're also going to be a very popular destination at all times through the transfer portal with Tony V, right? Like Tony V is going to be able to get whoever he wants. You would think.
Need to get a catcher. Our resident backup catcher is hitting. .50.
He got his second hit of the year, though.
Against Belmont?
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that.
I would imagine catcher will be a place that you look around. You tried last year, you know, to upgrade catcher. You tried to get the kid from Kentucky.
I do remember hearing something about that, but
I mean, I think you got a lot of guys on the team actually that can play catcher, but it's just like whether or not you want to put them back there. Like, I don't know if the guys have any like MLB aspirations, if it helps them to be a catcher or what. I don't know exactly how that works. I know last year you tried to upgrade the catcher position. The guy ended up going to the draft instead, the transfer from Kentucky. And then, you know, you went back to Evan Russell and was like, hey, how about you do it? And he's like, okay, cool. It'll help him be on the field. Awesome. And, you know, that was an ultimate team thing by him.
I still don't think we give him enough credit for how good of a job he's done moving to catcher. Like, I know he doesn't have the arm, but just his ability to like receive and just look natural back there and work with guys that are throwing the kind of stuff that Tennessee can is really impressive.
I mean, the fact he's been able to catch on the best staff in baseball, yeah, like that's really, really impressive, especially.
I just feel like when you mention him, like the move to catcher, just in general, people's first jump to is can't throw anybody out.
No, but I mean, he's been.
But what he has done.
It's not all his fault, though.
Too, yeah, we're also really slow to the plate. Like, we don't care.
There's a lot, like, the difference in, like, arms he catches who. Like, imagine catching Sewell and then Ben Joyce. Like,
yeah,
back
like
to
here's
back.
Like a looping. That's completely like different. Breaks guy and Redmond Walsh, and now here's 105.
Yeah,
figured out. But
and he has it. He's been really good at it. So you are right. Like, and you know the bat's been pretty good this year too, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I mean like he's done a good
he's
job.
He's one home run away from tying Todd Helton. Him and Luke Lipsy is both are after Luke has homered in four straight games.
Nice.
Yeah. Right now, yeah, catcher is that one spot where you go, hey, please. Somebody come in. Can we please find someone somewhere? But everywhere else, I mean, you just have talent that you don't even know about that we're not even seeing play right now. We're just guys coming off the bench that are in prime position to take over spots, not to mention another really good recruiting class and whatever you want to do in the portal. And then You don't even know who on your team could be like this year's Drell Ortega. You know, Ortega last year, I don't know if you saw that article in the News Sentinel that was really pretty interesting. He was sleeping at Lindsey Nelson Stadium, like, trying to find a way to carve out some sort of role on this team, like, getting there before everyone else, staying there after, because he wasn't even traveling with the team. Like, he wasn't getting any playing time. He played the first couple games of the year, was no good, and they got to the point where they didn't even take him on road trips. And now Here he is. He's one of your best hitters. He's in the top of the lineup. Like, last night,
where did he go last night? 5 of 7?
Yeah, 5 of 7 with, like, 4 RBIs. And
no, he didn't have way more than 4.
Was it?
He had 8.
8 RBIs, excuse me.
He had 2 home runs and, like, a double. I want to say he about had 3 home runs. He was literally, like, about 2 feet away from
5 of 7, 2 home runs, 2 stolen bases, 8 RBIs. So, I mean, you had a guy, and he wasn't even traveling last year. So you don't even know what could emerge from your roster, too, just with the amount of talent that Tony Vitello's constantly brought in.
I think Christian Moore will be really good. I think he'll be a first-round pick, but he's just, like, in a slump right now. So I think he'll probably play center field next year. And then Burke will play first base. I mean, you have the replacements on the bench for next year, plus what you're going to bring in. I think you'll be fine. Pitching's going to be – I mean, your 3 starters are going to be solidified going into next year.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Tidwell is gone, but other than that, I mean, I would imagine Tidwell's gone. He's eligible, and I would imagine he's not staying, so –
yeah, he's mocked like 20, so
right,
he'll go.
Right, right. I'm just, you know, he's got the option to come back if he wants, but I would have 99% sure he would be gone.
But yeah, you got Beams and Burns and
Dollander too.
Yeah, so I mean, you got,
they're none of them are eligible.
Yeah, I mean, you got everybody back. And again, like, Tennessee is going to recruit well, and they're also going to be able to pretty much get their pick of guys in the transfer portal. I would imagine, like, you got Dollander out of the transfer portal. And yeah, he's your best pitcher. And, like,
I mean, really, the only position, like, I don't think you could convince a good pitcher to come because there's already too many good pitchers.
But I don't think you'd also be, like,
you
trying
also don't
to
want one. But, right, like, you have Blake Burke at first base, but, like, any of your empty spots, if there, you can go say, hey, best catcher in the portal, you want to start for the best team in the country that's fun and exciting, here.
And
best
also
right fielder, best center fielder, come on, you know.
And I also don't think, I mean, Charlie, I honestly don't think that it would be impossible to get a really good freshman pitcher either. And be like your fourth starter, like with a chance to start, and like with just with to be on the staff. Because I mean, like, you're not, if your transfer obviously is after your freshman season, you can go somewhere and maybe play right away, and then, you know, play the next year as well. But you could also, you know, just kind of do like what Alabama players have done so long, and you just have to play 1 year on a good team to show your draft stock. And these guys gonna come out of nowhere. Again, I don't think it would be likely, but I'm just saying, like, I don't deny the culture Tennessee's built.
I think Dollander, you know, I think Chase Dollander is obviously like a first rounder after next year. He's gone.
Yeah.
So you're thinking, hey, if I come in this year, there will be one spot open next year.
Right.
But Beam and Burns will presumably, you know, be in your rotation for 2 more years. Mm-hmm. So it could be tough. But surely there's somebody out there that is willing to come and wait. Like, you're going to be able to still get that. Xander Sechrist probably plays some sort of role in the future, too.
Sure. And I don't know if, like, the money cannon is shooting for baseball or not. I know we do all the NIL stuff with the baseball team. I don't know, like, how much money these guys are actually getting.
They're probably making, like, a decent little check, though, which is – and I doubt that –
oh, they're covering their tuition.
I doubt that there are other baseball teams that make more than Tennessee.
Right. Right. So I hope that, like, all of our players are now, quote-unquote, on scholarship because they make enough money to cover that.
I think so.
I would hope so. So, like, there's just going to be opportunities here, and I just don't think you can underestimate it. Because, have we had success getting guys to the pros? Have we had more success than we were supposed to? Like, have any of these guys just, like, overly developed and, like, hey, we didn't think this guy was a second or third round pick, and now look at him. Like, I don't know. Like, was Gilbert supposed to be a first round guy? Because, like, you see Jordan Beck, that guy's a monster. Like, I mean, he looks like he should be a top 10
baseball
player.
Yeah, I don't think Gilbert was, because he came in as, like, a pitcher / like outfielder.
So you can at least point and say, like, we developed a guy and got him in the first round. Like, he's mocked now, like, in the first round, right? Or, like, second round some?
Yeah, and he's a smaller guy, too, so. I feel like he doesn't stand out as much as, like, Jordan Beck would in high school, you know what I'm saying, from, like, the pipeline standpoint.
Yeah, like, Jordan Beck looks like he was born to be a professional baseball player. I mean, the guy's a monster.
I think Lipscomb for sure. I mean, the last few years he hasn't hardly got any plate appearances, and when he does, he struck out or grounded out, and then this year has the second most home runs in the league. So I feel that's one guy you've kind of propped up. I think he's probably going to go second or third round.
So he got some development to go along with culture. It's not just like, hey, we're here, we're beating people's ass, we're rubbing their face in it too. It's also like, we're going to turn you into, you know, we have a good chance of turning you into millionaires too if you come here. Like, we know what we're doing. I think that's like invaluable.
And I think it's like, they talk about it on the broadcast all the time if you watch any of the games, but just the fact that you have the guys on the team that are contributing this year that have like, bided their time and improved themselves, like Charlie's talking about with Ortega, like that
Trey
does Lipscomb a lot
probably
for
the best example of that too.
That does a lot for the guys that are on the bench this year. You know what I'm saying?
And also that's why I wouldn't just rule out any like talented freshman at like a Georgia State looking and saying, I can transfer to an SEC school or, you know, to another Power Five school and like probably play more, but the chances, unless I'm going to like an Arkansas or Vandy, like I would rather come to Tennessee than, you know, go transfer to play at Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Maybe not. But you have a pipeline now. Like, again, I don't want to call us Alabama football until we win a championship. But at Alabama football, you know, guys are okay not playing their freshman year because they know they're going to start playing more their sophomore year and then start with their junior year and then be millionaires. You don't have, like, the freshmen that are scared of the competition running off. Like, mm-hmm. You have guys that are like, hey, just get me there and I'll learn. I'll get better in practice, I'll develop, and then I'll be ready to go make millions and millions of dollars. And I might not have as much like tread on my tire because I didn't have to play as a freshman. Feels weird saying we have like an Alabama football program. Again, we have to win some championships. I don't want to like overspeak too much. But it goes back to why I feel like this is a championship or bust season, because
it's going to be so sad if we don't win.
It's going to be.
So sad.
It's going to be.
And I really didn't feel like that last year. It was just like the first year we've been good. It was just kind of happy to be there a little bit in some of the games. But the way you performed in the regionals and super regionals, you had a big expectation going in the College World Series.
You looked like a championship team.
Yeah.
And, you know, you brought back a lot from last year's team. At least like in the position, you know, in the field, not so much pitching-wise, but you brought back a lot in the field. You know, we just said we're going to lose a lot of these guys, which I don't have any doubt that we're going to reload and be back. Like, I think we are going to be a perennial championship contender.
But I would say, like, last year, your three best players from last year's team all left, and you're still better this year, though.
Okay.
I mean, I think who was the guy? Rucker. I thought he was probably your best, like, most consistent hitter.
He was good.
And then Ferguson at second base was up there and hitter. He went second or third round. And Chad Dallas was good pitching, so I mean,
yeah, but I mean, like you still have two first rounders on the team behind him. Like,
yeah,
I mean, Beck was pretty damn good last year, and so was Gilbert. I mean, those guys are both.
I didn't think Beck was that great.
He wasn't as good as he was this year.
Gilbert was good because of the home run, but yeah. I think Gilbert's been pretty consistent between both years, about the same, about five or six home runs in the regular season, and then just
the
like
Australian who
consistently gets hits. Oh, Slimp too, or was that the same? Not Slimp, but. What was his name?
Your leadoff batter, Australian Liam Spence?
Spence. I thought it was Slim, but yeah. Spence.
He was last good. Year, you also, like, I don't want to say you were new to it, but, like, it was just so exciting to be good.
Yeah.
And you weren't sure how good you were because, I mean, you weren't beating the top-level teams. Like, you still lost your series to Arkansas and Vandy. Like, you had some clutch genes in you. Like, you know, you came up in big moments, but I didn't think you had the pitching last year to win. Like, I thought Dallas was pretty, you know, average as a starter. I thought he was tough, and, like, he would give you five or six innings, but, you know, Tennessee just gave him seven runs of run support almost every time he pitched, it felt like. Like, he was almost guaranteed to give up three or four runs.
So, the number two last year was who? I can't remember. I know Tibble was the Sunday guy.
Yeah.
I know Sean Hundley was in there some, but, oh, it was Will Heflin.
Yeah, Will Heflin.
Yeah.
Like, all three guys you got this year are better.
For sure.
I mean, maybe Tidwell last year is better than one of these guys. I don't know. But, like, you know, I have much more confidence in the pitching going into the postseason. That's why I think this team is obviously much, much more dangerous. Hour one of the books. We'll kick off hour two of headlines. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio.